the moment they said, all that God says, we can do it. Read Exodus 19. Exodus 20 was when God gave the Ten Commandments. Exodus 19, the moment they says, Kol Asher Dibir, that's found in Exodus 19, we'll keep everything God says. God told Moses, tell them, don't come near. In other words, God never had that tone with them. The tone changed. God says, if you want me to treat you based on your goodness, on your faithfulness, on your law-keeping, which they are promised just now that they will keep. God says, then, this is the deal. I'm holy, just like sun and the mud cannot come together. All right? Mud ceases to be mud. It becomes clay when the sun comes in the connection with the mud. Am I right? God is holy. Man is sinful. Who will be destroyed when the two encounter each other? You understand? Yeah. God didn't make man sinful. Man made himself sinful. That goes back to the garden. All right? So, God says, don't come near for your own good. Don't come near. Tell them, Moses, don't come near. God never had that tone when God brought them out of Egypt. God led them in a pillar of cloud, in a pillar of fire, like a shepherd with the flock following behind. He was so close to them. He was so near to them. He never had that tone with them. But the moment man presumed on his self-righteousness, on his strength, I'll tell you this. This is the worst kind of sin. The Pharisees, they know their Bible true and true. You can't say for sure that the Pharisees are guilty of adultery, all right? Outwardly, we can't tell, right? Outwardly, they look moral, they look clean and all that compared to the people that Jesus spent time with, tax collectors, prostitutes and all that, and he forgave them, healed them and all that. In fact, there's no healing account of Jesus healing the Pharisee. But we have many of Jesus healing the so-called social outcasts. Why? Because they know they are sinners. But the Pharisees cannot receive. They are self-righteous. And there's a worse kind of sin. In fact, when you're self-righteous, it produces all kinds of sin. See, what happened when they said, all that God says we can do, what do you see next? What do you see next? No, you see the Ten Commandments being given first. Right? And that was the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. So the moment they says, all that God says we can keep, did they keep it? The moment you come under the law, what happened? The very first commandment they broke. They built the golden calf. Okay? Do you see that? Yep. So those who advocate, yes, we must try our best to keep the law. It's actually bringing people right into sin. Let that sink in for a while. Those who advocate for people to be conscious of the law, to memorize the law, the commandments and all that. You know, it's amazing that children don't even, they can't even memorize the Ten Commandments easily. But you tell them, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. The Holy Spirit never helped you to memorize the law. What's the third commandment? Even those who fight for the law, you ask them, what's the third commandment? They look at you, they look here, look there, look here. So much for fighting for the law. What's the sixth commandment? They'll try their best. Thou shalt not steal. No, thou shalt not lie. I don't know also, but don't lie. Okay? But right now, by the grace of God, is my life a sinful life? No, I'll tell you right now, okay, God sees like no man sees, of course. But I'll tell you right now, I love falling in love with Jesus. I love the idea of seeing Him more and more every day. There's no woman that is behind me other than my wife. Okay, like well, another lady, I'm in love with her. It's my daughter. Amen? Yeah, she's the only one I say, I love you. She says she loves me back. That kind of thing, you know? So I'm going to enjoy these few years before she gets stolen and whoever steals, okay? All right? Just remember, can you imagine me for the rest of your life as father-in-law? Okay? Amen? Yeah, so I can tell you right now, and okay, this is not to throw a stone against anyone, you know, who has been divorced or remarried and all that. Okay, listen, we all know that grace is there, praise the Lord. But some people think I preach grace because there's some, you know, maybe Wendy is not his first wife. No, she is my first love wife. Okay, the first love that's my wife. My first love right now and the only last love is my wife, Wendy. Okay? Okay? Do I desire to steal money? Want to thank her mom and says, thou shalt not desire what belongs to others. If I desire, I will not just draw my salary from my intellectual property, but I'll go back on salary under the church. Why not you take both? Right? Other ministries in America is full of them. They draw from their IP, which is their books and tapes, whatever, but they also draw from the church they pastor. Nothing wrong. I choose not to. So that there's a testimony. And I can stand here as a volunteer. Every Sunday, I volunteer. All right? So that I have a moral authority. Is it wrong for me to be on salary? No. Every pastor should be on salary in their church. The Bible teaches that. Now, how about you, Pastor Prince? You must talk to Jesus. He told me, all right, to do this. It's a very unique case. Everywhere I go around the world, I tell pastors, I tell their board members, I tell their churches, take care of their pastor. They must have a good salary. The Bible says that. Let him who's taught in the word be doubly repaid. The word there is, the word honor there is actually the idea of money. The whole context there. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. But I'm not asking for this. So that I have a moral authority, okay, to help other churches as well, to bless their pastors, okay? Why are you saying all this, Pastor Prince? To tell you that morality, don't just look at people and say, oh, you know, this church telling people about grace, all kind of sinful things going on. Hey, you look close enough, you will find people living in sin. They come to every church one. Your church also have. All right? So, but the thing is that I have people come to our church and they find out our people are amazing. You know, they say that even your ushers, the light, the glow. You know, one of the hotels that we stayed also, and we have these testimonies many times, like Lawrence. We always have people saying, what are you all? You know, sometimes they say celebrities because Lawrence is there. They, are you all celebrities? What are you all? Because and this is what he said. You all seem to shine. You're always so happy. There's a joy. You know, compared to other people. Even, we're not conscious. We're just laughing at Pastor Mark's jokes and all that. And, right? And we are just having time. But the light is shining. Your light is shining without you realizing. And there are people observing. So, true holiness is unconscious. As you are occupied with Christ and not with the law, you become holy. True kind of holiness. Amen.